Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, glory to the Lord. Here it is, the best part of our week, right? Here in the Word. Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Today I'm going to call this message, Making Your Hopes a Reality. Making your hopes a reality. You know, many believers have gotten into the what I call the hope trap. And what I mean by that is that they are encouraged when they hear the Word, they receive the Word of God, and hope is the result of hearing the Word. Amen? Amen. You know, today as you hear the Word, you're gonna be filled with hope. Hope is simply the expectation that things can change.
Yes.
Hope is just simply the expectation that things can change. You know, and a lot of times, you know, God's people, they hear the Word, hope starts to fill them, but they stay right there. They stay right in the hope stage, and they never move one step further and into the faith stage. Hope is the beginning of faith, but hope is not the end. Hope must move on to a place of faith and bring substance to our hopes. Amen? Because I tell you what, if you just stay in hope, what'll happen is that hope, if it does not move into faith, it will die. And when hope dies, it becomes what we call bitterness. When someone has hopes and they have expectations and yet they never see the manifestation of what they're believing God for, they never see the manifestation or the change come in their life, that hope will then die and bitterness will take its place. You know, we don't want to be bitter Christians. You know, I had a phone call from somebody I know, not locally. They live somewhere in the country. They live in the United States, but they had told me about, you know, they asked me to pray for a certain family member because, you know, this family member, you know, had loved God and served God and everything, but some adverse circumstances came to this person, and that person became very bitter and angry at God, and that person asked me to pray for that individual. And I started to realize, you know, and I started to think, you know, how does that happen? How does someone who was once on fire for God, someone who is once, you know, just believing Him, trusting Him, and all of a sudden they're, you know, their attitude towards God becomes bitter and angry. You know, becomes bitter and angry. How does that happen? Well, they moved into hope. And they developed the hope that comes from the Word, which is good. That's the first step. But we can't stay there and we can't dwell there. We have to give substance to our hopes if they are going to become reality. And the substance of hope is faith.
Amen.
Amen. We need to know and understand the difference between hope and faith. Hope is good. I'm not here to try to diminish hope.
Right.
We need hope.
Yes.
Jesus is called the blessed hope.
Yes.
You know, but you can't just hope upon Him to get saved.
Right.
You can't just hope Jesus into your heart.
Right.
You have to believe Jesus into your heart.
Yes.
Amen. You can't have this idea, well, I hope He saves me. You know, there is a lot of religions, you know, or sections of denominations, you know, of Christianity that believe that, you know, you can't ever really know whether or not you're going to be saved. You just have to hope for it. Well, that's a very dangerous stance to take because I'm not hoping that Jesus saves me. I'm believing that I am saved. I have received Him. I've already believed that He is Lord. He is Savior. He is the Son of God. And that faith gives my hopes substance. It brings the evidence. And then once you have faith, it'll motivate every action in life. You ever wonder why people fall away and people that were once faithful, all of a sudden they're not faithful anymore? Is because they never moved into true Bible faith.
Right.
They had hopes. They had things that they wanted to see change, but they never moved from hope and into faith.
Right.
Because when you truly believe, it moves your feet.
Yes, good.
When you truly believe, you act.
Yes.
Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to talk about making your hopes a reality. Let's give substance to our hope. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start right there in verse 1. You know, one of my favorite verses to minister on. I've ministered on this verse a lot, but you know, there's always something more to get out of it. The Word is endless. It is forever deep. Amen? Hallelujah. Now we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to get some first facts. We're going to draw out some just facts that we must know about faith from these first three verses. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice it started with hope, but notice faith finishes what hope started.
Yes, that's right.
You got to start with hope, but faith will bring those things into substance.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. The evidence of things not seen. Notice faith isn't for what you see.
Right.
Faith is for what you don't see. Faith isn't always for what you have. It's for what you don't have.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. By faith, our needs will be met.
Yes.
Glory to God. But if something is standing right in front of you, if your need is materialized in front of you, the faith for that thing isn't so much needed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's there. You know, it's already seen. But it's for what you don't see. It's for what you don't know.
That's right.
That's the realm where faith works. In verse 2, he says, for by it, or by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds, notice plural, were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now notice in verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds, that's talking about the universe, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, all the things that we know of this universe that exist, they were framed or built by the word of God.
Yes.
Meaning God's words made everything you see.
Yes.
And notice it says, everything that you see in this realm came from the realm that you don't see. You could say it this way, the realm of God furnishes this realm.
Very good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to give you five facts that we can just pull from these three verses before we go any further. Number one, look at this. Notice up there in verse one, faith brings substance to your hopes. That's the first fact, because we're going to have to get a hold of these facts if we're going to go any further in the chapter.
Sure.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hope isn't what pleases God. Hope is just the first step on the way to faith. Oh, notice hope doesn't please the Lord. It's faith that pleases the Lord. And we could keep on reading down to verse 6. It says that, but without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Right?
And so faith is what pleases God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's going to be actually one of our facts here. But two, let's take a look at the next one. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see. Glory to God.
Amen.
I love that. That faith is your proof that you have something when you don't have it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Meaning when you don't see it, when it's not materialized, faith can still grab a hold of the things that you can't see. Hope cannot reach the unseen realm, but faith can. Money cannot reach the unseen realm, but faith can.
Yes.
Come on now. Hard work does not reach. Okay, hard work is good, but hard work alone does not reach the unseen realm.
Yes.
Faith does.
Yes.
Faith is how this realm is furnished.
Yes, that's good.
Come on now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see, not what you do see. It's for faith is for making the unseen manifest in front of you.
Yes.
I love that. That tells me that there are things that I can't see in the realm of God that are waiting for me to get a hold of.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right.
There are things there waiting that I can't see that God wants me to reach into his realm and draw out of his realm and draw into this realm of this seen world.
That's right. Yes.
Jesus told us to pray that God's will be done where? On earth. As it is in heaven.
Yes.
Some of you aren't taking a nap on me already, are you? Don't make me go back there.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe we should have a new policy. We'll start to have our live stream camera. We'll do a, you know, find the sleeper.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Come on now, y'all awake?
Yeah.
God has things waiting for you. In a realm that you can't see, and he wants you to reach into his realm and draw them to this earth.
That's right.
So that they manifest.
Yes.
That his will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Notice that as born-again believers, God has given everyone the measure of faith.
Yes, that's right.
Doesn't the Bible tell us that? Romans 12:3, for it says that God has given to every man the measure of faith.
Yes.
Or you could say it this way, God has given you a measure to reach into his realm and scoop out of his realm and bring it into this
That's
one.
Amen.
You know what a measure, you know, makes me think of a measuring cup. And in our house, we have a lot of different size measuring cups. I've noticed, you can go right down to those tiny little spoons.
Yeah.
You know, they're like all on like this plastic keychain, yep. And there's like 50 of them.
Yeah.
And you get right down to like this little tiny one, and then you move right up. And you can go right up to a quarter cup, half cup, full cup, you know, and they're all designed different measures. Well, we all are given a measure of faith, but we all are called to increase that measure of faith. So we're at whatever measuring cup you have in your hand, that is what and only what you will be able to draw out of that realm and into that into this one.
That's good.
If you only have that little itty bitty, you know, that little bitty tiny quarter tablespoon, whatever it is,
That
little tiny one at the end, if that's what you're reaching into the realm of God with, you aren't going to be able to draw back much.
No.
You'll be able to draw back something, but you won't be able to draw back into this realm as much as if you had that big cup, you know, the big one at the end, the big one cup. I want to reach into the realm of God with that measuring. I want to reach into his realm and draw everything that he has planned for my life. Glory to God. Listen, faith can reach where nothing else can reach. Faith can reach into a realm that nothing else can. Oh, come on now. God wouldn't be telling me to reach into his realm, right, if there wasn't things already waiting for me there. Glory to God. Where did this church come from? It came from the realm of God. You know what I mean? Where did this property come from? Where did, you know, anything that ever happened good for God, where did it come from? It didn't come from what you see.
That's right.
It came from somebody somewhere reaching into that realm and drawing those plans to this earth.
Yes.
There's something about faith that draws heaven and earth together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You need to reach into that realm. Glory to the Lord. That's why, too, we say faith is the evidence of what you don't see. You can have evidence of it even when it's not in front of you.
Right.
Well, what's the proof? Because I believe it.
Yes.
Tell me, what's your proof for heaven? What's your proof for salvation? Prove it to me. You say, well, what's the proof? I haven't seen heaven. You haven't been there. You know? What are you holding on to? You're holding on to the fact that Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
You're holding on to it with your faith.
That's
your
right.
Proof is because I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, your proof is I believe. Therefore, I have it.
That's right.
How come we can do that with salvation but not our other needs? You can take that same action of faith that your spirit had need. Your spirit needs to be reborn.
Yes.
Your spirit needs salvation. It needs to be born again. Why? You know, and you drew into that realm with your faith. You said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus has washed me and cleansed me from my sin. Jesus has rose again. You said that. You believed that. You reached into that realm and you made the new birth reality,
Yes. You
know, or you drew that reality to you,
That's right.
The reality of God to you.
Right?
And now you have it, and you have it by what? You have it by faith.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, couldn't you draw the needs for the natural body the same way?
Yeah, same way. Yeah.
Couldn't you draw financial needs the same way?
That's right.
Couldn't you reach into the realm of God to have all your needs met? Spirit, soul, and body? Come on now. You know, what is your proof that God's going to supply all your needs? I believe it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's all you got to have. I believe it. That is just as much my proof that all my needs are going to be met, just like, you know, Jesus, believing on him is all that I need for the salvation of my soul.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 3, it is the only way to have a good report with God. And that's kind of what I said earlier. It's the only way to please God, but this is the third fact here. Okay, 1, faith brings substance to your hopes. 2, faith is the evidence of what you don't see. 3, it's the only way to have a good report with God. 4, let's move on to fact 4 here. Everything that was made by God's words of faith. Hallelujah. Everything in this realm was made by what God said.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, no, people made these chairs, people made this carpet, people built this church. Well, no, they just manipulated the elements that God created with his words. Notice if the words of God can create everything that you've ever, you know, felt in this life, anything that you've ever seen, any, you know, raw material, any natural resource, it's all made by God's words of faith. Yes. Hallelujah. And therefore, that's why I say this. If it was made by faith, it's made to respond to faith.
Yes.
Yeah. Glory to God. 5. Things which we see came from the unseen realm. And that's why I keep saying the realm of God, the unseen realm, furnishes our world. Everything you see did not come from just this realm. It came from what you don't see. All right? And so we have those 5 facts. And now we're going to take them and we're going to move forward. And now you're going to see why the rest of this chapter will make a lot more sense to you now. Once you have a solid understanding of what faith is and these things that we talked about here. All right? I'm going to review them real quickly. 1, faith brings substance to your hopes. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see. It's the only 3, it's the only way to have a good report with God. 4, everything that was made by God's words. 5, everything we see came from the unseen realm. Okay? Now, we're going to move forward now. Now remember, hope is the expectation that things can change. Yes. Faith will be the actions that prove it.
Right, amen.
And now, how many of you have read Hebrews chapter 11 before? Anyone have ever read their Bible? All right, good. Well, maybe half of you have. Well, praise the Lord. I recommend it sometime. You know, it's a good thing to read. You know, but you know that we're going to start going through the list of the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the faith, you know, where it starts listing all these great people of the Bible and what they did in faith. And now it's going to make a lot more sense to us now that we have those 5 things kind of solidified in us, okay?
Amen.
It's going to start with Abel. It's going to go to Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. And then it goes down through Moses and Joshua. And it goes through all these great patriarchs of faith and what they did.
Right.
All right? Now let's go to verse 4. And let's start talking about the first great patriarch of faith that's mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame here.
Yeah.
All right? Look at verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, Abel still speaks. Oh my goodness. Now, let's take what we just learned and start to inject it into verse 4. Are you awake here today? I know it seems teachy, but come on now. Everyone's got a part to play in this service. God's doing his part. I'm doing my part. You got to do your part. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 4, by faith, I think it's pretty interesting. When God starts talking about the first patriarch of faith, the first thing he mentioned is someone who gave an offering.
Yeah.
Ooh, ouch. Well, here, I'm not here to minister on finances here today. Maybe that will kind of flow into the service. I didn't, you know, plan on it too, but all of a sudden I just realized, wow, the first act of great faith that was ever recorded in the history of the world was an offering.
Yes, that's right.
Don't you ever dare say that God doesn't care about your giving. Why? Because it says God was testifying of Abel's gifts. God boasted upon the giving of his man Abel. And now God says even though Abel has been gone off this earth for 6,000 plus years, he's still speaking. His actions are still alive in this earth. He is still changing our lives, motivating us, right? Abel is gone 6,000 plus years, and yet here his example is preaching to you all these years later. Oh, come on. Why? Because he gave by faith, and his brother Cain didn't.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
You wonder why Cain and his offering was rejected? Because Cain didn't give in faith, and we're going to talk about that. But look at this. By faith. Oh, so by faith. So Abel brought his hopes into substance Okay, think about all the things that faith is, and now it's telling us that Abel walked by faith. Yeah. So, number one, Abel was giving substance to his hopes. Oh, glory to God. Listen, if you want something to change, right? Remember what hope is, the expectation that something can change.
That's right.
Abel didn't just hope things would change. He did something that would put a demand on heaven.
Yes, that's right. Good.
He said, listen, I can't just sit here and hope that heaven moves closer to me. I have to take faith and reach into that realm, and I have to draw it here.
Good.
People act like God is so random. They act like God is so random, like we don't have a part to play in it. Like, well, maybe I'll get blessed today, maybe I won't. If it's God's will, you know, people say that at the wrong time. We should be saying that about something.
Sure.
Listen, yeah, you know, so many times people are just, well, I wonder if today's my day. Listen, God doesn't have a big bingo ball roller up there, and hopefully your number comes up today, and then you get blessed. God isn't random, it's not a lottery. He is telling us what these great people of faith did so that we can do what they did and reach into the realm that they did and have what they had.
Good. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Abel said, I need things to change.
Yes.
Okay, I'm expecting change, but I have to bring forth an action to prove that my hopes can become substance.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, if you want God to do something different in your life, you're going to need to do something different. God's people are sitting around doing the same thing they've done for years and wondering why it hasn't changed for them. Listen, you are going to have to choose an action that will put a demand on heaven and say, God, you're going to have to notice this. And Abel used this. He used his giving to get God's attention. And of course, I'm not preaching on giving here today, but maybe indirectly I am. I didn't really plan on it. I didn't see it that way. But now that I'm up here, it's going to be tough not to preach that, considering that the first great act of faith that's recorded in the history of the Bible is an offering. Oh, come on. Listen, if you want something different, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. You know, Reverend Tony, he mentioned that during praise and worship, you know, about doing something you've never done before. And I wasn't paying attention who went for a run or whatever. But sometimes that would be a great way to demonstrate. Do something you've never done before for God.
That's right.
You know, maybe it's, you know, lifting your hands and praising Him. Maybe it's just going for a run, you know, during praise and worship. But I dare you, do something. If you want, Pastor Brad, he mentioned this. You know, both of you guys are preaching my sermon here today. But if you want to create movement.
Yes.
If you want something to cut loose, break free, open up, I tell you what, don't just sit there and wait for God to just do everything. Do you understand that God responds to us?
Good, Pastor. Come on.
Sometimes, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something because, you know, I'm just sitting here and hopefully my lottery ball comes up today. You know, Michael the Archangel isn't just sitting up there, you know, rolling the roller. 7,400,000, you know, 400 million. He isn't just reading off your number.
That's right.
Come on now. All of a sudden, God looked and he says that God bore testimony to Abel's gifts. He said, look it. God took notice.
That's right. Good.
He said he reached into my realm with his giving.
That's it. Very good.
Oh, hallelujah. He has more than just hope.
Right.
He picked up a measuring cup and reached in and took a part of it. Hallelujah. Listen, and you're going to go through this list in Hebrews chapter 11, and you're going to look at all these people that reached into the realm of God, and they all did so with different actions.
Right.
Okay, God's going to give us different examples of what we can do to reach into His realm.
Yes.
Come on now.
That's right.
This is what pleases Him.
That's right.
You know, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about this.
Yes.
And I don't mind telling you. And I never could understand how anyone could ever sit in a service and just sit there like a bump on the log. Hallelujah, glory to God. Listen, you better let this stick to you. You better take this home with you. Because I tell you what, there is plenty of times when this realm runs out. There are plenty of times when this realm runs dry, when this realm won't produce, when this realm won't give you anything good. And you have to reach into the realm that gives you something good.
Amen.
The realm that changes your future. God was so pleased with this man because Abel didn't just have hope. He said, I'm going to give substance to my hope. I'm going to do something. And he chose, he's like, I'm going to show God that I mean it. I'm going to give. Remember, we could go back to Genesis chapter 4. Remember, Abel gave of the herd of his flock. Remember, he gave the best. He went to the choicest lamb and he gave that to God. What did Cain give? Cain gave the fruit of the ground. Remember? Okay, remember, he just brought his harvest or, you know, whatever it was that he grew. And now it says that God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain's. And, of course, Cain was discouraged and later on murdered Abel.
Yes.
Right? But remember what, you know, it says that by faith Abel gave. Obviously, Cain didn't give by faith.
Right.
Oh, come on now. Cain did not reach into the realm of God.
Right.
Oh, you know, what did Cain give him? Remember what God said about the ground to them? He said that the earth is what? Cursed.
That's right.
The ground was cursed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was. Remember, he said, from this day you'll grow figs and thistles. There'll be a curse upon the ground.
That's
right?
Yeah.
That's why when people try to tell me, oh, you know, alcohol's not bad. It's just, you know, it's just the product of taking, you know, and fermenting plants and, you know, it's just the result. It's just natural. I've had people try to tell me that marijuana is okay. Well, it's just a plant that grows out of the earth. Yeah, well, there's a curse on the earth. You're picking up a curse, rolling it into a joint, and smoking a curse straight to your face. That's what they're doing. Well, petroleum. Crude oil comes from the earth. I don't see you drinking glasses of that. You want a high? You want to go on a? You want to go on a trip? I'll go get you a glass.
Yeah.
Say, well, it's just natural. Well, there's a lot of natural things that'll send you to hell. Come on. But Abel gave substance, and Cain, he brought something that was cursed. He brought something that was cursed. He didn't bring the best. Oh, come on. This is what so much of the body of Christ is doing. They are approaching God in a cursed-like mentality, and they don't even know it. Because if you brought anything less to God than your best, you brought a curse. And I'll tell you what, serving God with a curse doesn't work. Well, Pastor Tim, I just can't afford to tithe. I'm just not a tither. I just don't tithe. I just whatever. I just put in whatever. You came to God with a cursed mentality.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch, 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 ouch. Well, I didn't bring my best. I showed up to church and I showed up late. Now, if you have kids, and you know, I understand that there's circumstances. God's merciful. I'm not trying to put you in the ground because, you know, you were late for church one time. I'm talking about habits and mentalities and stuff. You know, people will constantly, they always show up to church late. You know, is it all right to hammer this out a little bit? And I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying this to help you. Because all of a sudden you realize you come to God with something less than your best. You know, people will come to serve in their ministry appointments. They'll be late all the time. They'll be dressed like a slouch. You know, come on now. What are they doing? They're bringing a curse-like mentality, and they're trying to serve God with it. You know, we're living in the day and the time where 90% of the Christian ministries on TV, you get on there, and it looks like a nightclub. You wouldn't know the difference. What am I? Did I tap into a live stream feed of a nightclub? You know, the stage looks like it. The preacher looks like it. And what they're doing is they're bringing something. They're bringing the world's methods that are cursed, and they're bringing them to God and asking him to accept it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He didn't accept Cain's cursed offering. He's not going to accept our cursed offering.
You're right. Come on, Pastor. That's right.
You know, people try to bring their curse-like stuff.
No.
Oh, God, I'm just strolling to church all casual, and I'll stroll in and just, you know, not giving my best, and I'll just stand there and I'll wait until noon comes because noon is the hour when every preacher is supposed to stop. Well, no. You know, you are there as a path of least resistance person. God does not accept the path of least resistance. Cain brought something that he knew was going to grow back. But when Abel gave it a sacrifice, that lamb was dead and gone.
That's it.
Yeah. Cain just went to something, I'll take a few berries off this tree. I'll take a few plants out of the earth. After all, I got other ones growing. I can get them back. Faith. Abel acted in faith.
That's right.
Oh, come on. Abel was saying, this realm is not my provider. I'm gonna sacrifice something that will never come back, but that doesn't matter because I can always reach into God's realm and he can always bless me.
Yes.
He will take care of me. He will provide. Abel gave in faith. Glory to God. Because I tell you what, there is going to be some actions about your faith.
Yes.
There better be something bold. You better put yourself and make yourself vulnerable.
Yes.
If you're going to be in faith. Abel gave where it hurt. Cain gave where it didn't. If your giving doesn't hurt somewhere, it's not giving. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pastor, I really thought I was coming just to get a happy little poem. You know, something that rhymes. You know. Listen, I'll tell you what. There is a real devil. There is a real demonic hierarchy. And it hates you. And if I just sit here and give you some kind of pretty sugared up kind of fluffy message, the devil's going to eat your lunch every single day. See, faith is the realm that the devil doesn't understand. What does it say over there? 1 Peter 5:8 says, our adversary, the devil, walks about, stalks about as a roaring lion. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in faith.
Yes, that's right.
If there is one thing that confuses the enemy, it's faith. He cannot understand it. He has none.
Yeah. Good. Come on.
He cannot understand when he's trying to pile up all this stuff on your life and you just keep saying, glory to God.
Yes.
As he just tries to hammer your body with symptoms or hammer your finances or create trouble in your marriage or create havoc in your workplace, and you keep saying, but my God shall supply all my needs. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm healed by the stripes that were laid upon Jesus. And the devil stands back and he's just pulling his hair out. He cannot understand how you keep releasing faith when he keeps piling up trials on your life. He doesn't understand the realm of faith. He doesn't understand. You know, it's like someone that speaks English talking to someone that only speaks Chinese. They don't understand one another.
Yeah, understand.
The devil looks at you and he's like, ah, I don't understand that. But when you start griping, you start complaining, you start doubting, you start worrying, then the devil says, oh, I understand that. That's my language. That sounds just like me. Because there is no being in existence more worried than him.
Oh, there you go.
There is no being in existence more afraid or in fear than the devil.
Yeah.
You know why he tries to put fear on people? Because he himself is afraid.
Yeah.
He is terrified. He knows what's written about him. He knows his sentence has already been levied.
Yeah.
He knows his eternal future.
That's right.
And so when he's worried, he's full of doubt. He does not understand when he piles those circumstances in your life and you keep saying, well, glory to God. I'm counting it all joy.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, my patience is being worked.
Yes.
Right? You know?
That's right.
I'm letting patience have her perfect work.
Yeah.
So I'm whole and entire, lacking nothing. Glory to God. This is what Abel did.
Right.
See, I'm preaching in a way to help you understand now this is what these people did.
Yes.
Abel said, well, if I want something different, I'm going to have to do something different.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have heaven move closer to me, then I got to draw it.
That's right.
Yeah. I got to act. And Abel understood, listen, this realm isn't my provider anyway. Some of you think your job is your provider. That's why some of you get so terrified when you hear of, oh, the economy's going down, gas prices going up, layoffs coming to the company. You get so worried. You know why you worry is because you thought that that company or that paycheck was your provider. Well, if you get news like that, you say, well, that's all right. I'm reaching into the realm anyway. I've already got my measuring cup into the realm of God. I'm drawing it into this one. Come on, you get so concerned about your financial situation because you're leaning on money. Say, but Pastor, it's just natural to worry about, you know, when we hear news like that, it's just natural. That's the problem. God never called you to be natural. He called you to be supernatural. Well, it's just ordinary. Well, stop being ordinary. Be extraordinary. You know, well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Well, what about this? And what about my child over here? What about this? Do. See, now the devil understands you completely. He says, oh, I understand that. They're worried just like me. They're terrified just like me. They're panicking just like me. They're doubting just like me. They don't know God just like they're separating themselves from the flow of God just like I'm separated from the flow of God. See, the devil understands when you talk that way. He understands it. You're speaking his language. You know? And when you start speaking his language, I'll tell you what, you're going to get to know him a little better. Isn't that right? I don't want to get to know him. I don't want to get to know his way of living. Yeah, Abel was given substance to his hope. Yeah, he put a demand on heaven. Heaven started moving on his behalf. Oh, people act like they don't have a say in this. People, I dare you, just start doing, I mean, I'll tell you what, when you start doing even some of the simple things well, God takes notice. Say, Father God, I'm going to show up in church. And I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to go to the midweek service. Woo! And Father God, I'm going to do something. You know, I'm going to volunteer to serve. And I'm going to be there on time. And when I do start serving in the ministry of helps, I'm going to show up early. I'm going to be one of the first to show up, one of the last to leave. I'm going to do an excellent job. I'm going to dress excellent.
Yes.
I'm going to represent you well, Father God.
Good.
Oh, yeah. See, now you start acting because, see, now faith is motivating you.
Yes.
Faith is motivating you.
Amen.
The motivation to please God.
Yes. That's it.
See, it should drive you every single day of your life.
Very good.
Oh, praise the Lord. Abel, he was doing this because he believed God's realm would manifest in this life for him.
Yes.
He believed, yeah, that God's realm would manifest in this life for him. Remember? Remember our facts up there. Remember what we learned, right? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. He believed that it was going to move into the seen realm. Yes. Glory to God. See, he put a demand on it here in this realm. Oh, don't you dare just push the blessing of God back into eternity. You know what I mean by that? Some people are saying, well, you know, in the sweet by and by, when I get to heaven, oh, one glad day. Listen, today is the glad day.
That's right.
God doesn't want you to say, well, I'll just have God's best when I get to heaven.
No.
There's no faith in that. There's no demand in that. Don't you just push all of his blessings back into eternity. Remember what David said in Psalm 27, verse 13? Psalm 27, 13? Remember what he said? David said, I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He said, I would have quit. I would have fainted. I would have lost strength unless I believed that God's realm manifests here and now. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Some people are living their life like God's will be done on heaven as it is in heaven. Just when I get there, that's when it'll finally work. Well, you're a path of least resistance person when you think that way. You're like water. You always run downhill. Don't be like that. Listen, don't go with the current. Swim upstream. Glory to God. You know, so many people, they just, well, I'm just hoping that it changes. Well, yeah, you're going to get bitter. That hope is going to die because it never moved into the realm of faith. And then that hope that dies, when it dies, it becomes bitterness. People, I don't know, why didn't God do this? He didn't show up on my behalf. Where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened? God was the same place he always was, in the unseen realm, waiting for you to reach into that realm with the faith that he gave you to draw something back to you. It will never, ever, ever be God's fault.
That's right. That's right.
It'll never be God's fault.
Amen.
If man fails to receive, the failure was on man's side.
On man's side. That's right.
It's always on the manward side. Oh, I hope I make you mad. Praise the Lord. This will save your life. Say, oh my goodness, you know, hopefully it stirs someone up in here to say, you know what, I'm going to act in faith. I'm going to bring proof to my hopes. I'm going to draw these things into reality. Instead, I'm just sitting there, you know, like the Price is Right, hoping I get called on down. Oh, come on, you remember the days. Price is Right, 11 a.m. or whatever it was. Was it 10 or 11? 11 a.m., oh yeah. Glory to God. I remember being in college, you know, and I'd have classes and I'd get out in time to get home to see the Price is Right. Bob Barker, glory to God. Never replace him. Bless the Lord. I don't know where that came from. Hallelujah. Here's the third thing that Abel did. He wanted to please God.
Yes, my goodness.
I mean, that seems so simple. It's amazing to me how many Christians don't want to please God. They obviously don't. Because if they did, they would do something different.
Yes, they would.
See, God looked at Abel and said, oh, remember, by this is how Abel obtained a good report. God looked and said, oh my goodness, look what he did. He stepped out. He got bold. He did something he's never done before. He stepped out and he sacrificed. Look what he did. He set out and he put my interest first, God said.
Yes.
He stepped out. He wanted to please me. He stepped out believing that my realm is better than the earthly realm.
Yes, good.
He stepped out and drew heaven to earth. He stepped out.
That's right.
He wasn't just hoping. Cain was probably hoping. Listen, God puts a lot more emphasis on knowing than he does hoping.
Yes.
You know, 1 John 5:13, what does it say? It says, these things I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes. That you may know the Son of God, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You may put trust in his name. But God puts a lot more emphasis on knowing than he does in hoping.
Right.
And maybe as you're sitting here today, you're sitting here realizing, oh my goodness, I realize I've just been hoping for a new job. I've just been hoping that I would get healed. I was just hoping that we would have the finances for such and such. I was just hoping, you know, I was just hoping for this. Have you ever caught yourself just hoping for stuff? Oh, my goodness. If you say you haven't, then my goodness, lay hands on me quick because I need what you got. Amen. Do you ever find yourself, I'm just hoping for a new business. I'm just hoping that my business is successful. I'm just hoping. You say, well, what are you specifically doing? What action that you're taking is directly connected to what you're hoping for? What action are you taking? Say, well, I'm believing for this. Okay, what's the action that corresponds with that? Yep.
Come on.
Yep. You know, how many of you know that not just me, but as a pastor, you know, I better be believing for this. I am believing, not hoping, I'm believing for this property right here, paid in full in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We're over halfway there.
Right.
This building is only 5 years old. It's halfway paid off. It was a $3 million project, all
right?
Glory to God, okay? But I'm believing. I'm not hoping that just something happens and it gets paid off. I'm believing. Okay, so now the question is, what are my specific actions that I am doing that connect my faith to what I'm believing for? One is my words. Remember, God framed everything by his words. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Comes out of my mouth about every day and usually several times a day. I'll be in my house. Maybe I'll be making my bed or whatever. You know, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. I say that all the time, okay? That's one action. Here's another action that we take as a church. As you hear, as we sow and give into these other family churches.
That's right.
You know, we purchased a church building for the Wellsville Church. Okay, that is something we're sowing. What is that? That's a gift that is connected. It is a direct action because I'm believing God. Don't believe God to pay off your house when you won't support his.
Yeah, oh, exactly, exactly.
There's going to have to be, that is this church reaching in to God's realm with our giving, with our generosity. Here's a church here. Olean, the church in Olean had a need. I was talking to Pastor Mike Anderson, and he started talking about their new building there, and it had a big need to be painted, and there was a lot of space there. And he's like, well, me and a couple volunteers are going to try to paint this thing. I'm like, no, you. I mean, it would take you forever. Right. It's a huge warehouse kind of building, and it has tall ceilings and tall walls, and it was him and like another guy or something. And I'll tell you what, no offense, Pastor Mike, if you watch this on the archives later, he is not a person you want ever painting anything. Yes, that's good preaching. Pastor Mike with a paintbrush or a roller, ain't no way he is touching any house, let alone the house of God. And it just sprung up in my spirit. I said, well, let's talk, let me talk to the church and the staff and the board and whatever. And, maybe our church can pay for that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we can have it done professionally. And so we sowed that into that.
Right.
Amen. All that we've sowed into Mayville.
Yeah.
Into Tonawanda. What are we doing that? I mean, at least those are some examples of connections that we're making. This house will be paid in full in Jesus' name.
Right. Debt
free.
Yes.
Glory to God. So what are you doing if you're believing for your home to be paid off? Yeah. Now, of course, we give first and foremost to honor God. But God doesn't blame you if you say, Father, I thank you. Here's a gift, to Erie Church, or here's a gift. It doesn't even have to be to the church. Maybe God puts it on your heart. Go bless someone. Go pay someone else's mortgage. Believe in God for a new car. What, I dare you, go sow a seed into someone else. Pay their car payment. You know what I mean? What are you directly doing to reach in to pull your need into this realm?
Yes.
All right? What are you directly doing? What faith are you releasing for your kids? And the first question I ask is chapter and verse.
Yeah, sure.
What chapter and verse are you speaking over your children?
Right.
You say, well, I don't know any. What do you mean? If you've been around here at all, you should. You should, right? Now, if you're new or whatever, it takes time to learn these things or whatever. You know, I've quoted Psalm 112, verse 1 and 3. Blessed is the man that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And the righteousness endureth forever. Right? Yeah, how about Isaiah 54:13? It says, all my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Yeah, hallelujah. What are you saying over your kids? What is the direct action? God's direct action was his words first and foremost. But notice Abel, he tapped in with generosity.
Yes.
And with giving. And then obviously we're going to end right here, but we could go on to read about Enoch. Enoch tapped in through fellowship.
Yeah.
Abel was a giver. Enoch was a fellowshipper, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Noah, do we have to say what he did? Listen. Noah built a ship in the middle of a desert where it had not rained.
Right.
And it took him 100 years to do so, while the whole generation of people around him mocked him for 100 years. That was faith.
Yes.
Faith will take the ridicule. Faith will pay the price. Faith won't listen to the voices outside. Yep. What did Abraham do? Abraham got out of his father's house. He got away from the wrong associations, got into the right associations.
Right.
He was a rich man, but said, I'll be willing to take a lesser existence for a while.
Yes.
I'll go and live in tents for a little while. I'll do whatever it takes. Abraham tapped into the realm of God through consecration.
Very good. Yes.
Sarah, his wife, tapped in because it says that she judged God faithful.
Yes.
She kept saying, God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. She tapped into that realm with her faith and drew it in.
Amen.
She was 90 years old and had a child. You know there had to be some faith working there. She tapped into the needs for her natural body and for that child's. Why? Because she kept saying, I judge God faithful. But when there was no natural evidence to think that he would be. I mean, you're looking at a 90-year-old lady getting ready to have a child. I mean, that took faith. Because she had, visual evidence. You know, she could look at herself and say, this does not seem possible. Every day, herself, her body was a reminder, trying to talk to her every day why it's not going to happen. But she kept saying, God's faithful. God's faithful. I don't have to have that conversation with my body. Some of you are having your, you know, well, I don't know if I can be healed. Well, because you're having a conversation with your body. Body, how do you feel today? Oh, you don't feel good today? Oh, well then, well maybe God's not healing me then. So you're having a conversation with your body when you should be having a conversation with the Father. You don't talk to your body and find out how it feels. You tell your body how it feels.
Yeah, you tell it.
You know, some people, they have a conversation with their checkbook. Oh, can I afford this? Or should I do this? You know, let's see. What does money say? Money, what do I do here? Money, what do I do? You're having the wrong conversation.
All right, come on.
You're having the wrong conversation. See, Sarah didn't have a conversation with her body.
Right?
Right? Noah didn't have a conversation whether he could afford to build a ship like that. He didn't consult natural things. See, that's what faith is. It always is looking past this realm and into that one.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? I don't think I got to preach even 3/4 of my message. But, you know, it'll save your life if you'll listen. What do you believe in? What are the actions? Seriously, here's some homework for you. When you go home, whether it's tonight, you know, or, you know, whether it's tomorrow, this coming week, make a list. What are you believing God for?
Right.
If you first say, well, I don't have anything to believe God for. No. Yes, you do. If you are alive on this earth, you have a lot to believe God for. Okay? Jesus, he criticized the Laodiceans in Revelation 3:16. He said, you say you have need of nothing. And we're plenteous in goods, and we have it all figured out. And Jesus said, you don't realize that you're poor, blind, wretched, and naked. He said that to them. They said, because they said, we don't need anything. It is an insult to God to say, I don't need anything. I'm taking care of it. I don't. That's an insult to him. Jesus said, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you don't believe me for anything. You're not contending for anything. You're not putting a demand on heaven to come to this earth. Come on now. Listen, if you have kids, you got something to believe for every day. I'm telling you, if you got a job, you have something to believe for every single day. If you have a relative, you have something to believe for every single day. If you are married, you've got a faith project. You do. And if you think that you're not someone else's faith project somewhere, you are deceived, because I guarantee you, you are. I know I am. I admit it right now. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't need someone praying for me. Oh, listen, if you got a spouse, you better be glad that they're praying for you. Come on, did you get something out of this here today? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. We thank you. You're so good and faithful.